Last week in the All Age service, we looked at being bold, how we need in these days particularly that we should be full of courage, to be bold, to be strengthened, so that whatever challenges may come our way, personally, family, church-wise, in our community, nationally or internationally, we will be strong in the Lord. We will take a refuge in the Lord, and that we will not compromise, that we will stay loyal to the Lord. One of the lovely, lovely proverbs is that, you know, we have a faithful friend. He sticks closer than any brother. And we've just read in Hebrews chapter 2 that our Lord, even when we are faithless, He remains faithful, hallelujah, and He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Ashamed of Jesus soon afar? Please no, Lord. I can't remember the rest of the hymn. But I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus, and at times I've let Him down badly. As I reflect on 2013, I realise that I've failed the Lord and have failed others at times. But if that's sanctified, if I and you brought it to the Lord, that's redeemed, and we can now look forward to 2014. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus. We need to be bold. We need to live for Christ. I mentioned last week, or I read out, a commitment to, as a Christian, which an African dear believer wrote. This was his testimony, and I read it out, and within days, that African man, that believer, was murdered because he loved the Lord and would not convert back to Islam. I've got copies of that. Several of you took it on Wednesday, and if you do want a copy of that statement of that dear African brother, my commitment to you, Lord, I do have copies with me, my commitment as a Christian. And friends, I'm convinced that this year there will be much shaking going on, but there's going to be a year of great opportunities for the follower of Jesus, for the one who's determined in Christ to walk in faith and not compromise. My attention was brought to this article just a couple of weeks back. This is America, but this is the type of thing that believers will need to take a stand on, and there will be consequences for those who do. And I'm praying, and this is why, friends, we need each other so much. Yes, of course, as we sung in the song and the psalm that was read, Psalm 118, the Lord has gone before us. The Lord is with us. So why should we fear? Why should we fear what man can do unto me? So our greatest, greatest asset is that the Lord has promised to be with His obedient, faithful people, that He will not let them down. His loving arms are around His people. But hey, He's put us among family. We're going to need each other even more so in these days that come. And this is about a believer in Colorado. He's a baker. A baker of bread and cakes, a man called Jack Phillips. He owns a bakery in Colorado, and this was on Fox News just a couple of weeks ago, and he was asked to craft a wedding cake for a gay couple. And what his statement was, that crafting a wedding cake is like serving as a bridesmaid or bridegroom. It constitutes participation in the marriage ceremony. And Jack is now facing jail time for his refusal to bake a cake for a homosexual couple. And Jack is saying that, I cannot, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, do this thing. And he is prepared to go to jail for his stand. I think, you know, that's just one issue. There will be many issues which face the Christian where it will be easy to compromise. It will be quite easy to be sucked in to going the world's way, but Jesus is saying, no, do it my way. And whether you end up in jail, whether you're persecuted, even whether you lose your life, you've gained. You've gained. Because you haven't been ashamed of me. I'm not ashamed of you. Look what I've done for you, the Lord said. I've rescued you from the pit. I've given you a hope. I've given you life. I've given you an eternity. I've become your friend. Rather than your enemy, I'm now your friend. It's worth following Jesus. And as we begin this new year, as we come into 2014, of course, all of us, I'm sure, reflected, especially as we woke up on New Year's Day. We reflected on the year that was past, the good and the bad. Hallelujah. And of course, it is very important that we do assess things in His light. We do assess things in His light, and where we need to say sorry and confess and seek His grace, that we turn from those things, that we learn from our mistakes, we learn from our folly and disobedience, say, Lord, this is a new year. Hallelujah. This is a year of opportunity. And as a church, what an opportunity the Lord is giving us again this year. He's been very merciful to us in the past. He's been so very gracious to us in the past. But it is time, the Lord is saying, to, as it were, move on in His purposes. Not to look back, but to look forward. And yes, we must be looking only unto Jesus. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. And that which we, even as a fellowship, are committing to Him, because what He has given to us, He will keep. And we believe it is time to move forward in what we're calling the faith venture for this church. We need extra space, particularly for the children's work. We believe God has laid it on our hearts, and we give glory that the plans have been passed, etc. Now, the waiting upon the Lord really begins. The waiting upon the Lord really begins for the God of miracles to do a miracle among us. This is exciting, friends. Hallelujah. And how important it is. Again, this is something that we learn from the past. We learn where people have come in and sought to destroy. Don't forget, Satan and false teachers are there to kill, to destroy, to do away, you know, to make an agenda. We've learned from that. We heard on Wednesday the importance of being together, being united. Where does God command His blessing? It is on those who are in unity. In unity in faith. In unity in the word. And the devil will continue to seek to divide. We heard about that on Wednesday. And the Lord was saying, you know, but if you remain in me and remain together, hallelujah, there will be blessing. So we're looking forward to what God has for us in this coming year as a church, but also individually. Hallelujah. Because this year will be opportunities for us to grow or to stagnate. What do you think God's will is? I think I know. I think you know as well. It is that we will mature in faith, we will grow in grace, we will grow in our faith, we will grow in godliness, and we will grow in our evangelism. Hallelujah. We must be full of the Spirit so that we impact those who we associate with, and deliberately, as the Lord lays it on our hearts, target those who are still in sin, those still in lost, and point them to Jesus. God has, in His grace, handed us a new year, new opportunity, in a sense, to start all over again. How wonderful this is. I'm so glad that Mark was led, and the songs we sung, and Mark was led to read that psalm, which so centered on the Lord and his mercy to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, please. We're reading a few verses from 15. I believe this scripture can be of great help to us as we look forward to 2014. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And that's the Lord's word. And as I said right at the beginning, the Lord wants us to be bold and very courageous. As I preached that word on Sunday, Frances shared, our sister shared with some of us afterwards, and she indeed mentioned it on Wednesday, that morning in her reading in the book of Haggai, it was a very word that was quickened to her in her daily reading about being bold and courageous. Hallelujah. And that's why we so desperately need the Lord. We so desperately need the power of the Lord to equip us, to strengthen us, to empower us, to anoint us, so that not only will we face the challenges in Christ and be triumphant, we'll come through victorious, but that we will also, in our evangelism, in our witnessing, see folk set free because we've been with Jesus. And that's another reason why I felt led of the Lord to go to teach us a series on the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts, because we need each other, and also to invite Brother John Hibbert to us, which I believe will be a very important time for us as a fellowship, because we will need to be strengthened in Christ. We need to be alive to the opportunities he's going to give to us, to be bold and courageous. Ralph Reynolds tells of a story of this man who produced a man-eating lion's tail. He produced the tail of this man-eating lion, and he was bragging about how he had cut the tail of this lion off. And one of his friends, who he was boasting to, says, well, it would have been more courageous if you'd cut the lion's head off. And the man said, oh, no, somebody had already done that. See, that's not being courageous and bold, is it? Now, we've just read, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Making the most of our time, the time that God has favoured us with. We said 12 months ago that we didn't know what would fall into our pathway in 2013, whether some of us would be taken home, whether some would be hit with bad news. And for some, there have been major things which have taken place which would have shaken. But the Lord is still our stronghold. Hallelujah. When we commit it to the Lord, we have nothing to fear. We're winners in Christ. Hallelujah. And we know that the days are evil, but we are to redeem the time. Our time on earth is finite. It will come to an end. It's limited. That's a fact, isn't it? It's a fact. What does the psalmist write? He says in one place, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life." Again, in another place, he says, "The length of our days is 70 or 70 years, or even 80 if we have the strength. But they quickly pass. They fly away." Now, I know that if you're 15, 16, 17 years old, anybody over the age of 30 is ancient. I know that. But, of course, it's all relative, isn't it? You know? And I hear even of 80 and 90-year-olds saying, "I still feel young. You see, I can't do what I would like to do, but I still, you know, feel young." And we can go to a nursing home, for example, and most of them won't feel old. But they'll look at somebody and say, "That's an old person." It's relative, isn't it? But whatever, our days on earth is limited. The psalmist also tells us to number our days so that we will develop a heart of wisdom. A wisdom. Because in 2014, as in 2013, we're come up against situations and challenges that we think, "This is too big for me. I don't know what way to go." And we work out a few things and then they go all pear-shaped. And we say, "Bother it." The Lord's word says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. He will give it abundantly. Not like earthly wisdom, not like sensual or devilish wisdom. His wisdom is just right for the moment. It's heavenly and it comes from the Father's heart. Hallelujah. I was, one of the attachments I was sent from a sister yesterday was entitled, "Time. Time is precious, more precious than gold. It can't be bought and it can't be sold. You can spend it and you might even be able to save it, but one thing you can't, and that's to keep it. You can always find time, and you can always lose time, and once you have lost it, you can never reclaim it. You are able to make time, but you can't control time. You can waste time, or you can build on time. So value your time, spend it wisely and completely. See it joyfully, constructively, and positively. Live it gratefully and successfully, peacefully, generously, and lovingly. Then, if you do lose time, you won't regret it." Redeeming the time. The days are evil. So friends, individually, as a family, this church, may we make the most of every opportunity. Philippians 3 and verse 12 says this. Philippians 3 and verse 12 says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." He goes on, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That was the Apostle Paul's desire. That was his aim. That was his ambition. May it be ours. Let it be ours, pressing on, learning from the past, now moving forward to what the Lord has prepared for you as an individual, for your family, and for this church, so that we complete our destiny here on earth. Friends, what your heart is set on will determine how you spend your time and energy. What your heart is set on will determine how you spend your time and energy. Let me tell you, it takes as much time, it takes as much effort to live an unfulfilled life as a rich, rewarding one. It does. We can think of the time that we've wasted in sinning. We know that Satan is a thief and a robber. We can worry about the consequences of our past actions and our wasted times. But friends, if we're now in Christ, that is hidden. That is gone. But it's not just sin and foolishness and folly that can hinder our work. It can be other things as well. Other things can make demands on our time. Even good things can make demands. Let me illustrate that. Jesus, when on earth, one day went to the home of Mary and Martha. Jesus sat down to teach them. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. She was eager to listen to her master. But Martha wanted to be busy. She felt that food was important, and the chief of all guests was now in their home. Surely it was the right thing to prepare food in the kitchen. Because she was busy and Mary seemingly wasn't, she was at the feet of Jesus, she said to the Lord, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her off." Jesus replied, "Martha, Martha, you are worried, you are upset about many things, but only one thing is really needful. Only one thing is really needed. Mary has chosen that which is better. She's chosen that thing, and that will not be taken away from her." A little rebuke to Martha. Was Martha sinning? Was by fixing a meal in the kitchen? No, of course not. But here is the issue. Here is the problem. She was so preoccupied with what she was doing that she really didn't realize that God himself was in the room. And we can be so busy that we miss out on what Christ is actually saying. Busy even doing things which are good, which may be profitable in some areas, but we haven't actually caught what Christ is saying and doing. We can make those mistakes. We can make them almost on a daily basis, I guess. We can get caught up in the here and now that we fail to deal with the eternal, the things that will last forever and ever. And that was what Mary was doing. She was in on the eternal, whereas Martha was just thinking about the temporal. As important as that may be, but not as important as getting an eternal perspective. What is Christ saying? What is Christ wanting to do in the situation? Of course, we can also get preoccupied with our possessions. Our cupboards are full. Our fridges are overflowing. For many will have gone into debt even over this Christmas period, which will be displeasing to the Holy Spirit, because we simply must have, or we simply must get that thing. The Apostle Paul in Scripture says, "Be content with such things as you have." Godly contentment. That's worth a lot, isn't it? You know, dissatisfaction does not come from an absence of things. Dissatisfaction does not come because you don't have a certain thing. Dissatisfaction comes from a lack of direction, from a lack of vision, from a lack of the eternal perspective. We get too caught up on the here and now. Too many people are, if you like, marinating in their own misery, in their own gloom, in what they haven't got or what they should have done, because they have settled less than that for which God had intended. They've settled less than what God had intended for them, if only they'd listened and been obedient. So a text in Ephesians 5 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Each and every one of us, and as a church and as a fellowship, it is God's will that we understand what his will is. That takes waiting upon him. That will take times of fasting. It will take times of seeking his face individually and collectively. Understand what the will's Lord is. Do not be foolish, the apostle is saying. Understand what the Lord's will is. And what is the Lord's will even for us in this new year? I tell you what the Lord's will is. One of the things is, and I can tell you this without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord's will is that you and I are not saturated with worries and fears and anxieties. That our mind has not become so preoccupied that we're full of fear, worry, and anxiety. That is not the Lord's will. Understand what the Lord's will is? Well, it isn't to be overburdened with cares and anxieties. You will at times almost be overwhelmed. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The Lord's will is that he doesn't want your life, my life, this church, crowded with unimportant things. You see, friends, the quality of our life is determined by our vision, by our trust in the Lord. What is God saying? What is God's will? Then if we understand it, and it takes time. One of the most difficult things a believer has to face up to in their daily walk is guidance. And somebody will always have the word of the Lord for you. And it may be the word of the Lord, it may not be the word of the Lord. But guidance is a challenging subject. But it is the Lord's will that as we wait upon him, as we seek his face, as we listen to him, as we listen to so that we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, he wants to direct our paths. He wants to lead us in the way that is pleasing to him, that is fruitful in him. What is the Lord's will? That you and I abide in Christ. That we abide in Christ. The Lord's will is that you will bear fruit. The Lord's will is that this church will bear fruit. I believe that with the challenges that some of us are facing up to in our personal lives, etc., is that the Lord wants to redeem that so that it becomes so fruitful for him and a harvest is reaped. Redeeming the time, the days are evil. Some of that redeeming is done in tears. You're sowing in tears. You're weeping. But the Lord's will is that you're going to reap a harvest of joy, a harvest of fruit. There is a season. There is also a time for reaping. I want to just make, as I close, a couple of suggestions for us to consider. It says, don't be unwise, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is to redeem the time. Okay, let me give you a couple of suggestions. Because we need to establish our priorities individually, in family, as a church. Make a written list of the areas in which you would like to grow. Just make a list of the areas you would like to grow. Seek God's heart and then seek to tackle the three or four most important. If you slip back a bit, don't get condemned. But I believe this is a very practical thing. If you just write down, maybe three, just think and pray about 2014, the year of the Lord. Perhaps where Satan has got the advantage over you as a church. Perhaps where we've slipped back or haven't been as mature as we should have been. Maybe in an attitude. Maybe in what we've said. We haven't been wise. Say, hey Lord, these are things which if I abide in you and you're a part of my life, we can conquer together. Because see, we're not alone. This isn't making New Year resolutions. Millions will make New Year resolutions and in their own strength for a day or two they'll keep it. But devoid of the Holy Spirit, they fail. Unless they've got very good determination and a really good will. But we are not our own. We have the Holy Spirit. If we want to do what is important to the Lord, he will equip us. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. That's a practical suggestion. Because when we begin to establish priorities, we decide what is important in our life. What is important? What is important in my life? Second thing is, husbands, wives, make sure you spend time with each other, quality time. Make sure you do have quality time. And I recognise something of the pressures of life. Husbands, still date your wives. You've heard me tell the story how many years ago I was so wanted to bless my wife. I went down out in the garden and I picked this beautiful dandelion and put it on the pillow where she would lay her head. Blessed her. How you love her. Flowers. Chocolates. A coffee. Wives. Submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Make time for each other. Make time for your children. Children grow up so fast. They are precious moments. So the family is a priority before the Lord. With the disintegration of so much and with so many pressures and so much breakups and marriage being redefined and all that sort of thing, let the world see a proper Christian home. Let them see how we should live. Not for our own glory, but the glory of Jesus, that others will say, hey, these people are different. They're radical. They're radical. They're being bold for Christ. I also say, friends, don't let the world, which will may include ungodly family, dictate your attendance at the house of the Lord. Most of us have to work. I think Christians ought to be good workers. I think they should be good employees and good employers. When somebody hires a Christian, they ought to know that they're getting someone who will give them an honest day's work and not cheat on them. Because we are believers and we have the Holy Spirit, we have a responsibility to the Lord to honour him even in the marketplace. Understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is not this, that you do not become a workaholic. A workaholic is not, is in danger of not being in obedience to the Lord. And friends, if your employer is making unfair and unreasonable demands on you, which prevent quality time with your family, quality time with the church family, prevents quality time in evangelism, we need the grace and the courage to speak up. Because first of all, we honour Christ. We are living for Jesus. So let me summarise. We need to establish our priorities. We need to learn how to live today. Friends, the two greatest enemies of time are regrets for the things we did and anxiety about what will happen to us in the future. They are two enemies of time. If we're believers, I say again, the past has been dealt with. Hallelujah! As far as the east is from the west, our sins have been hidden. They've been dealt with. As far as we're concerned, they're done away with. But another great enemy of time is our anxiety and what will happen to us in the future. I've already said it's not God's will that we should get preoccupied by anxiety and worry. Cast your care upon the Lord. He cares for you. Many are living either in the past or in the future. We all have a past. The question is, has the past got hold of us? Does the past have us? I pray God it doesn't. Someone said, life is what happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. Well, a new year stretches before us. Please, Lord, help us to redeem the time so that we have a blessed and fruitful new year. In Cornwall, there's a tombstone which marks the grave of quite a leading professor of his time. But this tombstone reads, I expected this, but not just yet. And I believe the Lord is saying to us, yeah, wake up, get alive to my purposes. The Apostle Paul said that he had finished his course. Unlike the professor, he had completed the mission and the vision which God had given to him. And by his grace, I am determined that I will complete the mission and the vision which God has given me personally, but also as a church. And that we'll see this building, this extension erected. We will see the annex completed, all to the glory of the Lord, because we heard from the Lord, we had vision, and together we did what he was calling us to do. Paul said he'd finished his course. I hope you've started yours. I hope you've discovered it. Before we die, make sure we've lived, and that we're for Christ and for his glory. May this year be the best and most fruitful year ever. Just let us put on the screen Romans chapter 13, and we'll read this together. Romans 13, verse 11 to 14. It's on the screen. It's also in your Bibles, obviously. And let's read it together. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill his lust. May the Lord help us to redeem the time. Hallelujah. Let us get excited about what God has for us. Amen.